We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
If you're here for the first time, we want to welcome you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. I want to read a scripture as we're singing, How Great the Lord Is. Ephesians says, this is Paul, says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your eyes and the eyes of your heart enlightened, but that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only on this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the great God we're singing about, that great power that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. So we have been talking about intercession. I want to bring some perspective today on this matter of intercession, because if we don't understand our role in the purposes of God, then our position in the things of God is compromised. So when we're talking about how we are a royal priesthood, all that is not meaningful unless we know how to activate that identity into something that can work for our lives. So that's why we talk about intercession, because intercession is what powers us. Intercession is what gives us the platform to be who God says we are. And I'm going to introduce some issues on spiritual warfare. We will finish off next week when we have a prayer night, okay? We can't do it here. So we will just do headlines. And then next week, Friday, we have a prayer night. So we will get into detail. And then in the prayer summit, we will get into more depth. So that we then are all equipped in how to intercede. I know when I'm talking about intercession, some people are thinking, this is for somebody else. I don't even do that type of thing called intercession. So I want to talk about intercession and spiritual warfare. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10 to 13. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10 to 13. What version are we using, Jaden? Okay. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. This letter comes from Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, and we know that the book of Ephesus, Paul took time to explain a number of concepts that are very powerful. And he talks about how we have been saved by grace through faith. He establishes our position in Christ. He says we are co-heirs with Christ. We are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. He says because of Christ, there's this mystery whereby the church is actually including the Gentiles and the Jews in one. He said this mystery has been revealed to him, and is now open to us. He's establishing a lot of things. He's saying, in the light of all that God has done for us by his grace, in the light of our standing as children of God, in the light of the conduct that God calls every believer to live, he then says, finally. He's concluding some things that he has been raising in the book of Ephesians. So in spite of all that you have had, even walking in the Spirit, he's talked about how we got to be filled in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. He says, finally, now that you have heard all this about husband and wives, respecting, loving, submitting, and so on, children submitting to their parents, masters treating their employees well, all that, if you have heard all that, he says, finally, brethren, I want you to know this, be strong in the Lord and in the might, in the strength of his might. And then he goes on to talk about the battle. He says, in light of all this, there is a battle to fight in this Christian life. Even if we have all these things in place, if you have a lovely family, you have a lovely job, you love your Bible, you're doing your devotions, you are a man of God, you're a woman of God, your children, Bible scripture, he then says, I want to remind you, there is a spiritual battle going on. You with me? You can be a wonderful church with wonderful plans, wonderful vision. He says, I want to remind you, SCC, that there is a spiritual battle. So that's what I want to share about. Number one thing that we want to be clear from scripture, I'm just going to follow the scriptures as they present themselves. We'll finish next week. So those three verses or four verses. Verse 10 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So number one, strengthen yourself in the might of the Lord. The first thing to understand in spiritual warfare is that you need God's strength. First thing. You don't need to know about the devil, first thing. The first person you ought to know when you become a Christian, more than anybody else, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, be strong in the Lord. Or to put it another way, rely on the mighty strength of the Lord, not yours. Okay? So he says, draw your strength from the Lord. Don't draw it from anywhere else. Draw your strength from the Lord, from his mighty power. So, build up your strength in union with God. That's what he's saying. If you're going to be a victorious Christian, then you have to know this man called Jesus Christ. Because this man called Jesus Christ has got power. I know, we are used to, especially going to Christmas like this, Jesus is portrayed as a little baby in a manger. And the Christmas narrative ends there. It doesn't progress us to the cross. But if you end at the cross, the story does not end at Easter time. He ascended. And when he ascended, he was received in heaven. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that when he got there, he was given a name that is above every other name. He was given a title that is way above every power, every dominion, every might, or every entity that calls itself authority. That name, the name of Jesus Christ. So that name is loaded with power. That name. You know, before a soldier is given a missile or a weapon, he goes through basic training. They usually say 6 months fitness test. When you join the army, they take you through exercises, usually it's physical fitness. They've got to make sure that you've got stamina, you're strong. You are able to withstand pressure. That's physical. Before they entrust you with their gun, they want to make sure that you have strength enough to carry that gun. In fact, in the army, if ever you lay down your weapon, you go home. because you're not fit to be in the army. There's an issue of alertness, obviously. Now, basic training is important for a soldier because physical strength is part of your package as a soldier. It's as if the army is saying to you, soldier, we are going to give you the best weapons and armor possible. However, we also want to make sure that you are strong. We want to make sure that you have got strength. We want to make sure that we can use what we give you based on the strength you have cultivated. Though there is discipline to cultivating strength in you. When we come to the kingdom of God, then God says, okay, my name is power, but before I give you that name, you need to exercise some things in your life that therefore give you the authority or the wisdom to exercise that name. Are you with me? So it's not enough to walk around say, in Jesus' name, I cast this out. It's more than that. There is training that goes, there is wisdom that goes, there is knowledge that comes with knowing how to use that name. So, if the army is so serious about their soldiers and their weapons, what more in the kingdom of God? So, part of strengthening, let me explain some terms here. Might. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Might and power are not the same thing. They don't mean this. Paul uses them separately here. He says, might is what we call inherent power. Inherent power or force. In other words, if you see these big guys that do gym and stuff? What do you call them? Strongmen? How are they called? They're bodyguards. Someone calls them bodyguards. Okay. Now, they've got these big muscles that they display. They are displaying their might. But they're not doing anything. They're just standing there. They don't use them. It's like a reserve of strength. Now, power is different from might. Power is the exercise of might. So if you give this big muscular guy a piece of iron and then he bends it, that is power at work. Is that right? So he is now exerting force in a way that you and I can see it. So when the Bible says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So it means that God has this vast reservoir of might. But you've got to tap into it by exercising his power. Even if he doesn't use, you see, sometimes God does not use that power. We make demands on that power. We make demands on that power. Just because you're not using power doesn't mean it's not there. It's there, but we make demands on it. We got to know how to use it. That's how the kingdom of God works. You can rely, if you trust God, you can rely on God anytime. He will allow you to exercise that power from him. So how do we tap into this power? Well, Hebrews 11 verse 6 gives us a clue. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and diligently seek him. You should know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So two things. You must believe God. You must believe that God is who he says he is. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He's a God that is able to heal. He's a God that is faithful. He's a God, he's a man of war. That's who God is. You've got to know this. And this knowledge I'm talking about has to be experiential, not head knowledge. So, you might go through a difficult situation. Let's say you were not feeling well, or you are not feeling well today. You can know God as Jehovah Rapha, God who heals, by exerting power on that illness through accessing God's name. Now, you have to take time to do that.
To do that, you have to go to God and say, Lord, I'm helpless. Without you, I cannot walk. Heal me. You humble yourself. You humble yourself. So you go to God and cry out to God, say, God, please heal me. What you are doing there is you are putting the word of God at work. He likes us to do that because it's his word. So when God heals you and your uncle or your cousin is sick and say, can I pray for you? You know what you're talking about. You're not experimenting. You know that God healed me. I'm sure he is able to heal you too. But not only that, God, you've got to believe that he's a rewarder of they that diligently seek him. There is a distinction. Some seek God as, God heal me, but you know, I've got other ideas today. You know, that's fine, you walk away. But if you diligently seek God, it means that you are paying a price. You're going beyond your comfort zone. You're going beyond the ordinary. You're going beyond what you'll just do and walk away from. This time you are diligent in seeking God. And they that diligently seek God, God will show up. God does not make a mistake there. He will show up and then your spiritual adventure begins. You have to seek him. But seek him diligently. So that's what it means to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Spiritual battle starts by throwing yourself at God and saying, God, I need your strength. I can't get into this without your strength. Example, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, before he went into ministry, even though the Spirit of God came upon him, what did he do? He needed strength for what was coming. And this strength was for him to go into the wilderness for 40 days and pray and fast. It wasn't an idea from heaven. He realized that for me to be in ministry, I need to go spend time praying. So he went for 40 days. But when he came back now, he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was now endued with power. He had might. So when he walked into a place, demons had to act, had to go out. Because now the might of God was now being put into force. So it's true. All Christians have got access to that name. All Christians, we sing mighty God. But you need to see that might being real in your life. You got to tap into it. Diligently seek him. I'm here to see a man or woman who prays and seeks God diligently who does not know the presence of God. You try. Here's the second thing. We're just laying foundations. Second thing about spiritual warfare is this. Now that you know God, it's on the screen. Great. Know your enemy and his schemes. One of the things about sports is that you cannot go into a football match if you don't know the opponents you're playing. Is that right? You study them. You study their techniques. You study their schemes. You study how they approach the game. And when you get into that pitch, you know exactly how they're going to do their game. And chances are, if you've got an excellent coach, you win that game. In Christian warfare, I want you to think about your life. The Bible says, in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Against the schemes of the devil. Unless we understand our enemy, we will not be able to battle with him effectively. The word of God says let's do a quick study of who our enemy is. 1 John 5, verse 19. John says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. ESV says, it lies under the power of the evil one. I like the translation that says, the whole world lies in the wicked one. In other words, the devil is the ruler of the world. He rules the world. Yet he and his forces join him in his rebellion from God. We know this from Genesis, that they rebelled from God. So they rule. This present darkness is ruled by the devil. So Paul brings us to light in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read this to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. We're trying to understand the enemy here. Paul says, Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, the rest of mankind." So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, until we came to Jesus Christ, when we were unconverted, we were under the control of the prince of the power of the air. We were under the control of the devil. If you don't know Christ, you are under that prince. Okay? We were once under that prince. The prince that is the prince of the air. The spirit of the authority of the air. That's what it means. So how he rules his kingdom is he manipulates, he dominates, he controls, he intimidates. That's how you know you are under a kingdom of the devil. He will manipulate, he will dominate, he will control, and he does this through the lust of the flesh of man. He does it through the mind. He will do all these tricks. He dominates and controls, especially if you're not born again, you are easy prey for the devil to do whatever he wants to do, according to scripture. So there is an unseen spiritual world where he controls the mind and the fleshly lusts. Let me keep going here. Not only is he called the prince of the power of the air, but Jesus himself called him in John 12, verse 31. He called him the prince of this world. That word prince means ruler. The ruler of this. This is Jesus calling. He says, there is a ruler of this world. And his name is Satan. So Jesus called him, three times he called him this. He is the God of this world. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, he calls him God with a small g. He's a God of this world. That's how Paul describes him. So when we're talking about our enemy, we are talking about a spiritual entity. Please stay with me, stay with me. How you will know him is through his schemes. The word used there by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, he says, he has some schemes that he comes to us with and stand against the schemes of the devil. It's a warning that we're being given here. It says he has got some schemes by which he comes by. Let me give you an example of some of the schemes that the devil will do. But first, what is a scheme? The schemes are actually directed at the children of God. A scheme is an organized plan. It's an organized strategy. In fact, the word for scheme there is stratagem or strategy or wiles, or another version says tricks. Tricks of the devil. When we talk about a scheme, it's something that has been thought through. It's organized and it's effected in a very strategic way. It's usually successful if thought through properly. So what the devil does is he takes your life. He goes through things that could trip you or trap you or confuse you. He analyzes my weaknesses and your weaknesses. Remember, he's an ancient one. He's been around for a long, long time. So when it comes to human psychology, it's not an issue to him. And another thing is he has access to your family line. So he goes down your family line. He knows that the weaknesses in your family line are this. So in order to trap you, he sets up something where you will fall if you're not careful. That's why it's a scheme. Remember, he's got a minion of demons that he uses. And all this has one goal in mind, to bring the Christian down. That's the whole idea. So the enemy thinks through these things, and it's all evil. The whole agenda is want to bring the Christian down. It's a scheme. And it's a spirit being that's dealing with us. One of the schemes that he uses is called deceit. Deceit. Jesus, in John 8, verse 44, he calls him the father of lies. He says, when he lies, it's his native language. So, whenever you hear a lie over and over, it tells you who's using that person. Lying is part of the devil's kingdom. He lies to us about himself. And one of the biggest lies the devil has sold to the church is that I'm harmless. Don't worry about me. Usually it's a small sin where it's, it's a small thing. Come on, pastor. That won't me lose heaven. Have you ever heard those questions? Ever those questions people say, does this, will I lose heaven if I, what kind of a question is that? Another trick that the devil likes to use is coming as an angel of light. Sometimes he comes as an angel of light where he quotes scripture for you. You remember when he came to Eve, he says to Eve, did the Lord say that you should not eat the fruit? You know, if you eat the fruit, you'll be like him. Now, what he's doing there is he's telling a bit of truth and a bit of error. And then as he progresses, he starts twisting scripture. If you are not careful, you'll end up having scriptures that are not in the Bible. For example, you've heard people say, God helps those that helps themselves. That's not in the Bible. You've heard about that, right? You're too Christian. Maybe you've not heard this one. So people will throw these things at us and say, oh, look, even God says, God never said that. So in the scriptures. But the devil likes twisting things. He knows the scriptures very, very well. In fact, he knows the scriptures better than you and I. So what he does is he twists the scripture out of context. So when he came to Jesus, he says, so why don't you jump off that high place and the angels of God will carry you? And Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord to the test. He was twisting it a bit. So it's not enough to just know scripture. You've got to know the context of how to use it. Because the angel of light will deceive you. Sometimes the devil comes as a friend. As a friend, a wonderful friend who cares for you. So it's okay, don't worry. After all, they're being too hard on you. So he presents himself as a friend. When he went to Eve, he says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? What is he trying to do? He's trying to present himself as a nice uncle. You know those nice uncles that give chocolates to children at 10 p.m.? Mothers. And they're trying to put this kid to bed hours and hours, and then uncle comes, wake him up, wake him up. Many people are pulled into cults today because they feel as though the people in the cults really care for them. So cults come to you, they're smiling and everything. Cults like Jehovah's Witness, that's a cult, I'm sure you know that. They're very nice people. Open your house, open your door, they come into your house, they have coffee, they have tea, they chat about all sorts of things, they pull out their Watchtower books, and then they start the indoctrination. They start teaching you stuff that takes you miles away from heaven. Be careful when people start telling you, oh, don't worry about those people. Don't worry about the Bible. Don't read the scriptures. Read this one of ours. Be careful. you are being drawn into something else. It's called the schemes of the enemy. When all this fails, what the devil does is he removes his gloves and goes for a real fight with you. That's when Peter says, he is roaring like a lion looking for him whom to devour. He now comes clearly as the devil and he wants to mess you up. He says, I'm going to sort you. And he attacks. He's ferocious. He's not nice. The devil comes in all sorts of, he doesn't follow the rules. You know, it's a do or die situation. He will just do anything to get you out of a place where you're in connection with God. So, with the help of the Lord, there is no evil scheme that can prosper. Amen. That's why we lean heavily on God. We find our strength in the Lord because the person we're dealing with has been around for a long time. You can't win this one. Number three. We are involved in a wrestling match. Paul says in verse 12, Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Use King James. Against principalities. New King James. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So what Paul does is he lifts the curtain for us to have a peek at what's behind in the spirit realm. And we are introduced to all sorts of things happening there. And he uses the word wrestle. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That word we, I would like to believe that is speaking about all Christians. All. We're not talking about some special class of people that pray longer hours. We're not talking about those. We're talking about you and I. That word we, including you. If you are going to go to war, you need to know that you are part of this group of people called Christians. They are at war. We are. You might not even know that you are conscripted into this army. It doesn't change. When you say, Jesus Christ, come into my life, you told the devil, I'm against you. You might not be aware of it. If you have not given your life to Christ, you are still bordering on a place where the devil can use you. In the spirit, in spirit things, you can't be in two places. In the world, you can. You can pretend you are this or that. In the spirit realm, it's clear who you are. You are naked in the spirit realm. You are either for God or against God. There is no confusion in the spirit realm. They know who your master is. That's why Jesus says, you cannot serve how many? Two masters. So, Ephesians, he says, a wrestling match, if you know wrestling, it's one of the most intensive, demanding, most exerting, and all-inclusive of all sports, all-inclusive. Because every part of your body is engaged in wrestling. You need your eyes, you need your ears, you need your brute strength, you need swiftness. Everything is involved in wrestling. Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, meaning that every faculty of yours is engaged in spiritual battle. You cannot be half-hearted when you are facing the devil. It doesn't happen that way. You're in trouble. It's total conflict. Spirit, soul, and body. Can I even go further? It includes family. So what the devil does is, if he can't get to your heart, he then works on your body. He can throw a curse on your body, a spell on your body. And then you go to the doctor. Let me give you an example. You go to NHS. You go to the NHS, says we don't know what's wrong. Then it's okay, I'll pay for a specialist. So I'm going to go look for a special doctor to look at me. And the special guy looks at you, says, I've done all my studies. I've checked everything. Guess what? There's nothing wrong with you. But you and you alone knows that, no, there is something. I can feel pain here. They bring all the latest equipment to check your situation. No, there's nothing. All your radiography equipment, Mrs. Mzulu. They test on you, say, is it? No, there's nothing. Like, I know, I can, I'm feeling it right now as you're talking. Something is happening inside. That's a clear indicator that you're dealing with a spiritual problem. Can I give you another example? Maybe you're an angry person. And you are really trying to be nice, but you just explode in anger. And when you are angry, you almost want to kill somebody. And you have tried. You've done, gone for counseling, and they sat with you, say, okay, so count up to 10 first before you do anything. Then do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Even if you go up to 30, you're still angry. Say example. And you have tried. You've tried all you can. You've tried, you've done everything. It's not working. Listen, you might be dealing with a spirit. Bitterness. You're losing weight because you are bitter over something that happened 30 years ago. Okay? Because it's been in your spirit for a long time. It's been in your heart for a long time. Let me tell you what happens. With these things initially, it's like, I can handle this. With unforgiveness, for example, saying, after what she did to me, I need time to forgive her. How many of you know that time does not heal nothing? It postpones. Now, there is a technology for dealing with unforgiveness. The technology for dealing with unforgiveness is the cross. Because that's how unforgiveness was handled by our model, Jesus Christ. So it is by the blood of Jesus that we can handle unforgiveness that is sitting here. The blood of Jesus is a technology that works in the spirit to break a lot of things. We'll talk about that next week. I don't want to get into detail too much about it. There's a world, the spirit realm understands the blood. That's why even a witch doctor, even a spiritist, has to kill a chicken to get the blood and sprinkle it. When you go to see a clairvoyant or somebody, he will give you a bit of blood and say, yeah, you can go now, you're sorted. But the blood that was shed on the cross is the blood of Jesus Christ. More powerful than anything else. So all the stuff I'm talking about, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, the solution comes through the blood. You just need to know how to apply the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. That there are powers, there are principalities, there are spiritual entities that are attracted by things that are sinful. So when you start walking in sin, for example, you attract spiritual entities that will make you not be able to stop when you want to stop. Initially, you're in control of that sin. Sexual immorality, for example. You started okay. You were able to say, I don't want this now. I want to stop this thing. You did manage. I went back. But before long, you can't stop committing sexual immorality. Now, you have attracted a spirit. It's now more than willpower. You now need help. We'll do about the next week. We don't have time to go through too much detail. I'm just giving you a flavor of what it means. That verse that says, we are not dealing with flesh and blood. This is now beyond. We're dealing with some entities that you cannot see with the natural eye, but they are very much alive. There is a realm where the devil has a system. He has a structure. He has a hierarchy. Bring that verse up, verse 12. This is a hierarchy that Paul is introducing us to. He's saying there are things in the spirit that are in a certain order, and all of these have different powers and territorial strength that they're dealing with. Of course, we don't deal with principalities. Those are spirits. There's a level for that. We have got authority on the ground here. And the picture of that is scorpions. A scorpion is a picture of an evil spirit. Jesus says we can trample over scorpions and what? Spiders. So those are images of demonic things. We can step on those because of what happened on the cross. You with me? So this is the world we live in. And can I say to you, Paul is not saying, I've got a good idea about this. He's announcing, whether you are aware of it or not, it's not Paul's problem. He says, this is the reality of the warfare we are in. That's what he's saying. It doesn't matter whether you live in England or you live in Japan or you live in Zimbabwe. It makes no difference. This is the structure of the demonic kingdom we've got to wrestle with, according to Paul. And all these demonic entities have one goal in mind, to knock the Christian down from their place of standing. So he attacks, he goes to families, he wrecks families. He goes into marriages, he wrecks marriages. Have you, for those of you who are married, have you had an argument with your wife or husband, and then later when you've sobered up from whatever has been happening, you say, what was that all about? There are perfect marriages here. I'm talking to the wrong people. If you don't mind, tell your friends who are married that Pastor gave this example. Is that okay? Number four. I know I've painted a scary picture, but that's not my intention. Here is the solution to what I've been saying. There is an armor that God has given us. Amen? We have an armor. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. We don't fight the devil by being smart. We don't fight the devil by going to university. You can actually have a PhD and still be harassed by a demon the whole of your life. And have a 13-year-old who knows, always got spiritual knowledge, who cast out a demon from you, who's 60 years old, walking in the Lord, but ignorant of this world, of demons. So Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, though we are on this earth, that's what he's saying, we do not war according to the flesh. We do not war in terms of how the world fights. We have been given a certain strategy of fighting in the spirit. That's what he's saying. But we have weapons of our warfare which are totally different from those words. Basically, they are not carnal. So, for example, we don't fight anger with revenge. You with me? Revenge is not part of our arsenal as Christians. But the weapons we use are what? They are mighty in God. That's why the armor has to come from who? From God. Because if the armor is from God, it's mighty. And it's so mighty that it can pull down strongholds. The stronghold. A stronghold is a place of defense. It's a place of power. But when the mighty power of God gets involved in your life, that stronghold has to come down. That's what the scripture is saying. So pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because there are many centers of wisdom, centers of knowledge that are projecting themselves as saying, I can explain life. I can explain the origin of the earth. I can explain where this world is going. While the Bible says we can cast down those arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. It has to be brought down, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is a weapon. This is how we fight in the spirit realm. So, whenever you adopt the ways of this world to fight a difficult manager, say, I'm going to fix him. That's carnal. A Christian says, you know what? I want to go take time and pray. Do you know that When you take time to pray, time is gone. When you take time to pray, what God does is He reveals to you how you should fight. So, my wife and I have done a lot of set free courses or set free sessions. We call it, some people call it deliverance. And there are moments where we wouldn't know what to do when we're doing this. And from nowhere, the Holy Spirit shines a light into how we should battle this situation. And then that's it. Meanwhile, we've been praying for 2-3 hours trying to deal with this demon or this thing. And it's not moving at all because we have no clue what we're dealing with until the Holy Spirit shines light, says, this is what we are dealing with. Without that wisdom from the Holy Spirit, we can spend another 2 days doing this thing. It won't work. So we need the Spirit of God. We need the wisdom of God. When you come to the armor of God, we've got to depend on the might of God. Then we'll be able to stand. When Paul is writing this scripture, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Actually, the way it's written, it's like he's saying, God has an armor, and what he's doing is he's sharing it with us. Therefore, if we are sharing God's armor with him, or if he's sharing it with us, it means we are more than conquerors in Christ, because Christ never loses a battle. So we need his armor. You can't lose a battle when you're with God. It doesn't matter how many principalities are involved. It doesn't matter how many powers are involved, how many authorities are involved. When Daniel started praying, heaven was shaken in the sense that they came to give him an answer. There was a battle, though. But he overcame. The prince of Persia was trying to resist Daniel, or at least Daniel's prayer. But God showed up, and he gave him victory. So it doesn't matter what demon is stopping you. Is it not Paul who writes, says, no demon, no power, no principality, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Nothing. But we've got to stay in Christ. Now you and I need to know that we are called to deal with Satan and his forces. We are called, but not in our own strength. No. We are only called to deal with it in his strength. Let me give you an example, then we'll close. You remember David, when David was faced with Goliath, a massive giant. What did David do? He strengthened himself in the Lord. And then he faced this Goliath. And straight away, David could see that this guy is a giant in the physical, but he's a dwarf in the spiritual. Because he started the battle of trying to involve gods. He says to you, I'm going to crush you and I'm going to take your body and feed it to the beds. He started castigating the gods of the God of David. And David says, oh, now you're touching my God. All along it's been okay. But if you're touching my God, then let me tell you something. You are not fighting me. On the physical, I'm a point of contact to simply spin this. Oh, anyway, can I tell you what I think about that story? This is my version now. Okay, don't cut it. I actually think that if David had that sling and David had closed his eyes and aimed in the opposite direction that way, I believe the stone was going to turn around and look for Goliath and hit him. I believe that. It didn't matter where it went at that moment in time. The moment it says, Goliath, you are now fighting my God. You are a gone man. You are a dead man talking. Sometimes you have that attitude when the devil comes for us. Don't talk too much. Hey man, don't talk too much with the devil. In fact, stop asking the devil questions. Go into your prayer closet. Say, God, the devil is doing this to me. What do I do now? And let God take care of it. And the moment David did that, he didn't have to do anything. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he fired at him. I don't know. But man, that thing just looked for him. A little stone went right into his skull. Do you think that is because David went for training in sling shooting? Do you think he went for training to the degree that he was that precise? Do you really believe that? No. There were angels involved in that fight. How about Jericho? Jericho fell. Do we really think that this army from Egypt, former slaves, could have brought down that army that was seasoned and strong? Do you really think they brought that army down? No. There were angels involved that stepped on those walls. Research shows that those walls actually sank in to the ground. They didn't fall this way. They sank in. Who was stepping on them? Angels. Because spiritual warfare, when we say spiritual, it means angels are involved. Those are the entities that come in to withstand those spiritual entities of darkness. But we tap into that through prayer. Now, you and I, God has given us that ability, that capacity, and that favor to have access to his might. That's what scripture says. So, next week we will go into more detail saying, what tools are you talking about? What are the tools that I need to use to intercede? We'll get into a bit of detail on that. But today, let's leave it at this, that God has given his people a call. There's a mission upon your life. There's a call upon your life. And God wants you to fulfill your calling. But the devil is doing everything he can to stop you from fulfilling. Even a church like this, there are entities that have been sent to cause confusion and stop us from achieving what God wants us to achieve. But you know what? All we need to do is to use God's armor. We need to go to God and say, God, we are helpless without you. Help us to stand. After you've done all that you can, the Bible says stand, and you'll see God come through for you, because God is faithful. God will not let you down. You'll see your marriage changing. You'll see your family changing. You'll even see your attitude changing towards people that you're angry with, because God will be doing an internal spiritual surgery that will change your whole life. That's what he does. The only problem God has is sometimes we think we know better than him. Sometimes we challenge God and say, no, I'm not like that. But hey, God is precise and he wants to help us. I want to pray. Father, we thank you for today. We pray for strength today. We pray for our eyes to be opened. May our ears be opened. We pray, Lord Jesus, that those of us that have been wondering what's going on in our lives, in our families, that, Lord, you'll begin to reveal that which has been hidden in exactly what's going on. I pray, Father, that we will have the desire and the zeal to pray, to intercede and stand in the gap. On our own, we can do nothing. But as we seek your power, as we tap into the wisdom of heaven, as we ask, Lord, we know that you answer they that call upon you, they that seek you diligently. You do show up. So today is my prayer, Lord, that you'll cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Every situation here, we plead the blood of Jesus over it. We think of those that are sick or unwell for any reason, where they can't figure out what's going on. May your power begin to flow and bring healing and bring restoration and bring renewal. And that our minds will be renewed. That strongholds will be brought down. And the Lord will experience a whole new season of seeking after God. A whole new season of seeking to stay in the place of prayer. Prevail in prayer. Persist in prayer. We ask for the spirit of intercession to come upon us. That Lord, for those that are failing in their faith this morning, those that have been praying and hoping that something will happen, that Lord, may you give them the strength to stand. That they will not give up, not now. That they will not quit, not now. For you are a covenant keeper. You'll never leave nor forsake us. So may they find hope. May they find encouragement. I pray for those that are bound, that are still bound by the enemy here. Those that are still hearing voices of the enemy. We break those strongholds today. Set them free. May they be set free to worship you without any issue at all. In the name of Jesus, may they come to a place where their hearts are open, where they surrender to Jesus with nothing holding them back. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.